To ask the question with you this morning, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I want to use this passage, these verses that Jane read to us about this Philippian jailer. He would have been probably a retired soldier. Most jailers in the Roman Empire were on their retirement, given that office. There were no pensions as such, so they were kept happy by giving them a job. And Paul and Silas were in this town of Philippi because they were there to plant a new Christian church. They went there, there was no Christian church in Philippi, so they went there to plant a new Christian church. But the Jews were always against Christianity, still are today, most of them. They were always against Christianity, and so wherever Paul went, they found that he was almost immediately arrested, and it was on this occasion. He was arrested and put into the local jail with his feet in the stocks, following a very severe beating, we're told, with rods, not just with a whip, but with rods. They were battered and beaten, feet in the stocks, and they were taken to the most secure area of the prison, to the dungeon area, held in total darkness. We know that because later in the story, as it develops, when all these things happen, the jailer runs in, but he can't see a thing. He had to call for lights. And yet there's an interesting sentence or two in this account that even though they had been arrested wrongly, falsely, and beaten and severely smashed about and put into the terrible darkness of an underground dungeon with their feet in the stocks, we find at midnight they were singing, Paul and Silas were singing praises to God. That's very important to note, isn't it? Because their circumstances had gone downhill terribly. They were in a real mess. But their God hadn't changed. It's the same God that they'd always worshipped and praised. And so even though their circumstances were bad and couldn't be any worse, they still worshipped and praised God. Then we read on that there was a great and massive earthquake which smashed open the prison doors. The jailer thought that, of course, that having the doors open, the prisoners would now just run off, they'd just leg it. He knew that on taking up the post of being a jailer, he'd sworn to safeguard the prisoners with his life. So he knew that if they legged it, that he would be tortured and killed. And so he was about to commit suicide. But at least he would evade the torture. When suddenly Paul calls out to him to stop. He said, "No one's escaped. We're all here." And so he calls for lamps, rushes in. With amazing surprise, he sees it's true that everyone is there, no one has escaped, and we read that he falls down on his knees and asks Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved. And Paul and Silas reply, "What you must do is this: you must believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." So they then told him about Jesus and the gospel. And I'll just read to you verse 32. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And then something amazing happened. This man, on hearing the gospel, responded to it and he was totally changed. We find that he now, instead of being the jailer, he becomes the doctor and the nurse. He takes them and he bathes their wounds. They would have been covered with massive wounds, bleeding from the severe beating. And then he and his whole household, who listened to Paul and Silas explaining the gospel, respond to that invitation to believe into Jesus and were baptized. Then the jailer invites them into his home for a meal. Absolutely amazing. What an incredible change. This jailer was the one who decided that these horrible Christian type people, best place for them is in the worst dungeon. Now he's inviting them into his home for a meal. And the section ends with the jailer and his household rejoicing and full of joy at this great salvation. So the story started with Paul and Silas full of joy at midnight singing praises to God, and it ends with a group of brand new converts full of joy singing praises to God. What a dramatic change. They were now completely different people. You know, it worries me when I meet people who say that they've believed in Jesus and that they're Christians and there's absolutely no change in their lives at all. No different. They've always been like that. They say they're Christians and they carry on being like that. Because I can't find an example of anyone in the Bible who, having met Jesus, didn't have a change in their lives. And it was such a dramatic change. These were different people. When a person is truly born again, they change. And people can see it. Might not be quite as dramatic as this, but they do change. And people can see it. And so I want to speak to you this morning about what it means to believe in Jesus. It's a term that's bandied around, and I want to explain what it really means, what the Bible says it means to believe in Jesus. And I'm doing it because at least once every year I try to do this. I want to try to persuade you to believe in Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you say that you do believe, but there's nothing changed. So I want to persuade you to really believe in Jesus. And to those of you here this morning who do believe in a biblical way and you have Jesus as your Saviour, I want to encourage you to keep on believing. But it's a moment-by-moment journey to keep on believing in Jesus. That's my aim. Because the Bible says that this believing in Jesus is absolutely essential. It says that because it's essential, because without Jesus, the Bible says, you'll perish. There's no ifs or buts. There's no kind of halfway house. Oh, well, you know, at the end of time, I've done a lot of good and God will not forget that. No. It's very clear, without Jesus, everyone who rejects him will perish in a lost eternity, the torment of an eternity without God. At the moment, in this world, God's blessings are enjoyed by everyone, whether they believe or whether they don't believe and reject God. God's sun, as it were, shines on both. The Bible tells us that when we leave this world, that ends. God's blessings cease. And only those who have believed in Jesus will find that they still are rejoicing under the blessing and the grace of God. So I want to encourage you this morning to believe in Jesus. I want to say to you that it is so important, because believing in Jesus is not just something you do with your mind. This changes a person's life. You give your life to him. Jesus comes and rescues the lost. A few weeks ago on the BBC News, they showed a delivery of ventilators from the United Kingdom that the Prime Minister had organised, arriving at a hospital in India. And the camera showed them unloading these ventilators. They were kind of battery-powered ventilators, apparently, for emergencies. And the camera showed them unloading these, and then it suddenly went to quite a commotion that was taking place as a lady was being rushed to the doors of the hospital, and two of the medics there were holding up their hands saying, "You can't come in. We can't treat anyone." And the camera went to show this lady who was gasping for breath. She could not breathe. She was dying. Without help, she was a goner completely. And suddenly, as these ventilators were being unloaded, they connected her to one of them. And she began to breathe. She was a moment away from death, and suddenly she was saved. Now that's what it means to believe in Jesus. It means that Jesus is a saviour, a rescuer. We're not talking about something, believing in Jesus means you come to church, or that you listen to somebody preaching and you say, "Oh yeah, 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 I know all that kind of thing." That's not it. What it is, this believing in Jesus means that you're going to perish. That's what the Bible says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that all who believe in him will not perish." All who believe. Those who don't will. And so this believing in Jesus is not something, just a little thing that you hear about. It saves a person, as that lady was saved from instant death. This is a rescue, a salvation. Without Jesus, everyone who has rejected Jesus in this life will experience the eternal disaster of a future in hell. And that's why I want you to be rescued. That's why I preach these kind of sermons at least once a year to you. Because there will be people here who need to be rescued. And you need to be rescued. You need to hear what believing in Jesus really means. But you might say, "Hang on, I'm okay. I come to church. I come every week. I listen to you wittering on. I'm okay. I don't need rescuing." Well, be very careful when you've got an attitude like that, because it's rife with danger to think you're okay. You know, of course, that when the Titanic struck that iceberg and began to sink, thousands of people on board, everyone on board, felt the impact as the boat hit that iceberg. They felt the whole thing shudder. Didn't bother them a bit. It was unsinkable. They were okay. And so they carried on. They carried on, absolutely enjoying themselves. We read that the bar was still full and serving drinks. The dance floor was open and there were hundreds of people enjoying a dance. They'd felt the shudder as it hit the iceberg, but they were okay, fine, didn't affect us. And they weren't bothered at all. They were enjoying life. It was an amazing trip. The lights were on. It was warm. It was cozy. Everything was fine, except the ship was sinking. Except the fact that even though they thought they were okay, they were only minutes away from perishing. Just minutes before they were cast into the icy waters and would drown. Well, they thought they were okay. And many people think they're okay in this life. They've got a good life. They've got money in the bank. The life's so full, they've got the holiday to look forward to. We don't need you telling us about we need to be saved, we're okay. And yet they're doomed. They could be moments away from perishing without being rescued by Jesus. But then this question comes, why will people be lost? Isn't God a God of love? Why will people perish? And the answer is because of sin. Sin has entered this world, and I'm a sinner, and always have been, and you're a sinner, and everyone is a sinner in the sense that they have rebelled against God. They don't want God in their lives. They run their own lives. I run my life. I've got everything sorted out. But it's because of sin. as we've turned our backs on the God who made us, and we ignore him, we insult him. You will not be able to go out this week without hearing his name blasphemed many, many times. We disobey him, and that's sin. And sin with the holy God has its consequences. It ends our relationship with the good God forever. But Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came with the spiritual ventilator. Just about when we were ready to perish and be lost, Jesus comes with this salvation. So that everyone needs to believe into Jesus. But what does it mean? What's entailed in this believing in Jesus that rescues a person and brings salvation? Well, first thing, of course, is you've got to hear. You've got to hear the message. You've got to hear about Jesus and his offer of salvation. The jailer in this story would have heard about Jesus, because when the Jews brought the prisoners to him, they told him why they were being jailed, and it was because of Jesus and their proclamation of Jesus. So the jailer had heard, he'd been told what Paul and Silas were in prison for. He would have probably heard their prayers as they were in the dungeon, in the stocks, and he would have probably heard them singing the Psalms, but it did him no good. Because hearing on its own does you no good at all. You may have heard of becoming to this church for years, you may have heard the message 100 times, 1,000 times, but it'll do you no good if you just hear it. And you'll be heartily sick of me using this little illustration, I'm sure, as I've used it here before, because I often think about, I'm not a train traveller, I'm tied to my car, and so I hadn't been on a train for, well, maybe 20 years. And I was completely lost. I didn't know what you do when you went to Shipley Station. I mean, do you pay on the train? What do you do? Where do you stand? How do you know what to do? So I was told that what I had to do when I got my ticket was to listen to the announcements. You see, and I could hear that the train on platform so-and-so is going to Leeds. And I could stand on that platform and hear the announcement. And it was on several times. And I could believe it 100%. I could look at that train and say, well, yeah, I believe it. It says Leeds on the front. They've told me it's going to Leeds. The announcement says it's going to Leeds as I stand on the platform. It does me no good at all. It'll never get me to Leeds by hearing the words. The only thing that needs to happen is for me to get on board. And that's what happened to these people in this account here. It says that they asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? No use me just hearing you singing. No use me just hearing about all this. What must I do to avoid perishing? And so we read that Paul and Silas explained the gospel to them, and that they believed into Jesus. They surrendered their lives to Jesus. They said, up to now, I've been wrong. My life's been wrong. Everything I've done is all for me. Everything that I've thought about is all about me. But now, I want my life to be all about you. And so we read that they trusted themselves to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to close this now, because we know that faith does come through hearing. But don't assume that people know what the Christian gospel is. They don't anymore. In my teenage years, all those many years ago, you could assume that. The Sunday school that I was involved in had 120 children in it, where they would hear from tiny tots about the gospel. I bet you can't find a Sunday school with 120 children in today. It's gone. Don't assume that people know what the truth of the gospel is. And so we tell the unbeliever not to put their trust in going to church. Don't put your trust in having faith. Faith doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Faith is the instrument that God, the Holy Spirit, uses to open people's eyes so that they can see and believe. We're not saved by having faith in our faith. We're saved by Jesus. And so to close this now, I want to just say a sentence or two to those here, I assume the majority, who are Christians and do believe in Jesus and have surrendered their lives to him, so that they are different. You know, the people who say, I'm a Christian, but they've never had a change. There's no change at all in their lives. The only change is they come to church. That doesn't count. I want to talk to people whose lives have been changed. They've surrendered their life. Jesus lives in their life. Jesus now guides them. He is their saviour and the centre of their lives. And I want to say just a word to you, a brief word, because all around today there's an unbiblical concept that has crept into the modern church. And it goes something like this. That if you come to church and somebody speaks to you and says that you need a saviour and says, if you say this prayer, just say the words I say, I'll say it, you say, follow me. If you do that, you're in. You're a Christian. But that's utterly unbiblical. That's not what becoming a Christian means at all. And so what I want to say to you, that kind of belief by hearing someone say, just say this prayer and you're in, that doesn't bring salvation. You're still as lost as ever if that's all you've done. True belief begins by believing and trusting your whole life to Jesus. By recognizing that so far in your life you have been a rampant wrong sinner and you cannot save yourself and you need Jesus to rescue you. And that's how a person becomes a Christian. It's not their life anymore. Jesus takes it at cost. It means to say there'll be stacks of times for Christians when they don't feel like reading the Bible. There'll be stacks of times for Christians when they don't want to come to church because they've got something else really good to do. And, that's far more important than going to church. For a Christian, their life changes. They have a new desire. You don't have to feel guilty to come to church. You want to. You can't keep away. Why? Because this is where God speaks to you and helps you and encourages you. And Jesus has died for you. Gave his life for you. You were on the road to hell and he's rescued you, and so you want to come and say, thank you, Lord. It's a change that's taking place. And if you're here as one of those who know that to be true, I want to say to you, that's wonderful. Leave here rejoicing, but also leave here believing. Because the Apostle Paul says this, The life I now live, it wasn't my former life. My former life wasn't like this at all. Something's happened to change me. The life I now live, I live by faith in Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. For me. I can't believe it. That Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, would come to this earth, be born of a woman, live and die on the cross for me. For me. With all my sin, with all my failure, with all my rebellion, with all the bad things I've done, Jesus died for me. And so I believed. But I'd go on believing. And I invite you as a Christian to go on believing through the good times. Through the ordinary times, through the storms, through the worries of life, through the doubts, through the disappointments, through the heartbreaking sorrows, Jesus calls you to carry on believing. Even when the circumstances change, your Saviour hasn't changed. And even through death, when that day comes, if you're conscious enough, you go on believing. You step over that line from this life to the next, believing. If you're a Christian here, keep on believing. The world will do its best. Satan will do its best to keep you so busy, so full of things in this life that you'll hardly give it a thought. Keep on believing. Run the race right to the end. There's no prize in a race if you don't finish it. So to those here who say they're a Christian, but there's no change at all in their lives, they've never really accepted Jesus, believe in Jesus. Come to him and say to him, you need to be rescued. You need your life changing. And to those who are Christians here, the message comes this morning. Keep on believing in Jesus. That's what I want you and I to do. Amen.